You will open up in Scripture with me. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be reading out of the Pew Bible. If you'd like to follow along and you did not bring your own Bible, please open up to page 948. It's 948 in the Pew Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to start off by saying, you know what I hate, but what a terrible way to begin a sermon. You know what I dislike? Team building exercises. Have you ever had to do team building exercises before? Have you ever gone on like a corporate retreat and they made you do stuff? I've been a part of church staffs where we had to go and do team building exercises. Have you ever had to do a trust fall? Have you ever had to like link arms and figure out how to do a task together as a team? There's this one where you have to like stick your finger out. Everyone stands in a circle with their finger and there's like a hula hoop they set on it and somehow you have to lower it, but keep your finger, and it's a mess. Team building exercises are the worst. What a painful way to spend the day. I mean, I understand, obviously, teams have to work together. Maybe sit down in a room, let's have some discussions. But sometimes it's just painful when you got a group of people standing in one circle and you got to get to the other circle without using your feet or something like that. It's just one of my least favorite team building exercises that I ever had to participate in was actually in football. I was playing football in high school. After the season was over, we had like team building week. Did not go well. But one of the exercises that we had to do, it was like the coaches had taken 2x4s, the long 2x4s, and we had to stand on them. It was like skis, like you're on a ski, but there were 6 people on the skis. Have you done this one before? So we're all standing in line on one 2x4 with each foot, and there's a rope tied to said 2x4, and you're holding onto the rope, so you can kind of pick it up. And we all, 6 of us, are standing on this thing and have to walk down the football field together. But if you don't do it in unison, and it's 6 guys, 6 like guys in high school, and if you don't do it together, you know, you fall off or you fall over or somebody's foot comes off and your foot comes off, you have to start over again. What a frustrating experience team building exercises are. You know, and the more people you do it with, the more painful it can be to walk in sync, to move together. And yet, as we begin looking in Ephesians chapter 4, we see the very first thing that Paul addresses in this section is the unity of the congregation. See, in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, as we've been going through it, Paul's been presenting the gospel. He's talked about who this God of ours is. He's talked about who we are. He's talked about what the gospel did for us and who we are now in Christ. We read such excellent passages as, "While you were dead in your sins and transgressions, Christ Jesus made us alive by grace through faith." It's been a delight to read these first 3 chapters as Paul says again and again to the congregation he loves, here's what the gospel is. Here's who Jesus Christ is. And now as he begins chapter 4, he says in chapter 4, verse 1, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." This verse is the theme for the next 3 chapters, for the rest of the book, is now, he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." So you who have decided to believe in Jesus Christ, you have heard the gospel and said, okay, I'm going to make Jesus my Lord. I'm going to obey him. We now spend the next few weeks looking through chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6 and seeing what would God expect of us. And the very first thing, very first way in which we are to live a worthy life is in unity with each other. Let's pray and take a look at that together today. Father God, pray that the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you. Father God, I pray that you put your spirit on us to teach us something new about yourself. Father, we love you dearly. As I pray in your name, amen. Chapter 4, verse 1. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given to Christ, apportioned as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower, earthly regions? He who descended, the very one who ascended on high, higher than all the heavens, in order to fulfill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord today. Amen. All right, I complain about team building exercises. Perhaps not the greatest introduction to talking about the joy of obeying Christ. Amen. There's nothing worse than disunity. There's nothing worse than anger and factions. There's nothing more painful than that. On the contrary, the greatest joy we have is getting to walk in gentleness and peace together with God. The first thing you see as you look at this, the way that we are to go about maintaining this unity, is to each of us maintain personal righteousness. How does unity go about happening in the body? Each one of us must individually be full of humility, gentleness, patience, and we must bear with one another. I previously worked in a church that, like every other church, like this church, at one point went through a hard pastor transition. And they were without a pastor for a while they were looking for a new one. But 2 years, we were without a pastor at that church. The longer it goes on, a pastor search, more frequently, the painful it gets, the less unity there is. And it was a hard transition time. But for so many of us there at the church, the word was from the staff who was remaining, listen, we're not looking for a savior. We already have one of those. What we're looking for is a pastor. But the only way for this church to be glorifying to God is for each one of us now to go about being righteous. It's going to take all of us all at the same time. We're not looking for one guy to lead us righteously alone. We're looking for a congregation where each one of us is at the same time acting righteously, so that if we're all doing it at the same time, then we will make progress towards knowing God. We're in this together. And the success, the growth of the entire congregation, the growth of each individual here is dependent upon the other individuals. I ask you, look at verse 2. It says, be completely humble and gentle. How humble? Go on, answer me. How humble? How gentle do we have to be? Let's hear it. How gentle do we have to be? We are to be patient and we are to bear with one another in love. Verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How much effort do we have to put forward to keep unity? Every effort. It's a big deal. It's important. And it's upon each one of us individually. The Christian ethic, everything that Paul has to say about how we are to live together with each other. And Paul says that the way we live together with each other as a church reflects Christ or does not reflect Christ, or rather reflects Christ or reflects Christ poorly. And here it is summarized for all of us. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, it's not news to you that watching terrible things on TV affects you negatively, right? It's not news to you that listening to music that is just awful affects you in your heart, right? No one's surprised by this. No one's debating whether or not if you put garbage in, garbage might come out. You start watching some terrible things and out comes terrible things. Well, if the Christian call is humility and gentleness, then what things ought we to put away as bad examples for us to live in? It'd be really hard to suggest for us today that you ought not follow the political debates as they go. Rather, follow them watching for examples of humility and gentleness. If there's no humility and gentleness, there is no Christ. This is what bonds us together. If you appropriate a belligerent attitude for yourself, because it kind of feels good to get loud sometime. You know how you like to get a little bit of adrenaline going when you get angry? You kind of let it go. Do you know those people who say, well, sometimes you just got to get loud and that's how you're going to get what you want? There's simply not a place for that here. There's not a place for that amongst the body of believers. There's only room for complete humility and gentleness. The next thing that he says is, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Members, I talk to you now, specifically, if you're a member here at Talitha. I've been really proud to see how we've fulfilled this properly lately. Good job. God bless you. Were you there at our last business meeting? We had business that might have at other times or in other places caused a little disunity. Things that we have to bring up and we have to go through that we have to work together on. We were essentially on the 2x4s needing to walk in lockstep. And we have. Even if there was disagreement, we found a way to maintain peace because of the gentleness and humility. If you've missed a Talitha business meeting, come on. We're having a great time together today. If you're a member, come and participate. If you're a guest, you're welcome to visit and watch how we do our business meeting without participating. Everyone's welcome in those. It's a joyous time. A little more close to home, and I've talked to everyone involved, so I think I'm okay with using this as an illustration now. Find out this afternoon if I'm not. There's been a little bit of hubbub. There was a potential for hubbub. There was the potential for a little bit of a kerfuffle. You know, there was the potential for something. Just regarding locks and keys, and this is the way it goes in a church. You know, you want to take care of stuff. You don't want it to go missing, and so you kind of want to lock it, but then everybody needs a key, and then if everybody has one, stuff goes missing, and it gets moved around and gets locked. We had some of that. We had it in every kind of direction in the past month. We have the doors that are locked that nobody could find a key to anymore. You know, the historic one, like, how does nobody have a key to this building anymore? How can we not get into it if we need to? And people try to maintain things and take care of things, but not realizing other people needed access. But I tell you, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud to get to worship together because every voice that I heard on this, every person that I heard, even if they got their toes stepped on a little bit, spoke kindly. Nobody used the opportunity to act like Bobby Knight and throw a chair and kick some other player on the team. I'm serious. As everyone came and talked, do you not see what a victory that was in and of itself? That from every end, as everyone has talked, it's been like, okay, well, we got to do something different, but let's talk about this. How are we going to go about doing this? We got to make sure we can get what we need, and we got to make sure we protect what we have, and what are we going to do? How are we going to work it out together? The gentleness, the humility, the bearing with one another in love was absolutely evident in that. God bless you. What a joy it is, and what an act of worship it is to be a part of that. Through it and any other thing that happens, I use this illustration. You know how when you're living with people, you can relate to this, right? You know how you're living with people, maybe it's just you and your spouse. Maybe you have some kids there in the house too. However many more people enter the house, the worse it gets. That somebody moves your stuff. Have you ever lived with somebody and somebody moved your stuff? That when you go to find something you were looking for and suddenly it's not there and you go, hey, where was that? And you spend half a day looking for it. How frustrating is it to own something, know where it's supposed to go, it not be there, you look all over 3 times and can't find it. It's infuriating. And if you live with other people, it's just going to happen. Now imagine, in the metaphor, we're like a family and there's like 200 of us that live together. Good luck, you know? Just understand that the exhortation from Paul to the church is not to have been militaristic about authority and leadership. Rather, the exhortation is to make every effort to keep unity. The exhortation is to bear with one another. The exhortation individually is to be humble and to be gentle and to be patient. Our expectation is not that sometimes we don't get out of step with each other. Sometimes we get out of step with each other. The question on sin, though, isn't if we miss something or if something was poorly communicated. The question on sin is how did we handle it with each other? Did we bear with one another? Or did we lose our cool? That is when we find out if we are acting worshipfully or not. while we're striving for excellence in ourselves, and this is a painful one to do, right? So far, all I've mentioned is how painful team exercises are, how painful it is to live with other people, how painful it is to be in a congregation with other people. And yet, this is what Christ has called us to do. And this is what he set an example for us to do. Take a look. Verse 5, he says, we have one Lord, we have one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, and this is Psalm 68, Paul is quoting, when he ascended on high, he took many captives, and he gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Why must we maintain this bond of peace and unity? Why must we bear with one another? Because Christ has done it. Christ, who came down and took on flesh, who descended to this lowly earthly place, who surrounded himself by disciples who somewhat frequently said foolish things or things without understanding, who didn't get loud and angry every time that he saw them misunderstand, but patiently endured. We must be patient because of the great patience of our God. Peter says in 2 Peter, says, many are going to come in these latter days. Many will come and say, what do you mean Jesus is coming back? What do you mean there's a God? Of course there's not. The world just keeps going on and on, just like it did when our fathers were here, just like it did when their fathers were there. It just keeps happening. What do you mean Jesus is coming back? Peter says, scoffers will come like that. But do not assume that God is slow about keeping his promises, Peter says. He is not slow about keeping his promise. Rather, he is patient towards you, not wanting any to be lost. We don't assume that each day Christ does not return means it's less likely that he will. We rather recognize each day that he hasn't come back yet, all 2,000 or so years, is a testimony to the grace and patience of God. Look how patient our Father is, that he was patient enough to wait for you to have an opportunity to trust him, that he was patient enough to wait for you to have an opportunity to tell somebody else about him. We are gentle and humble and patient because of the example that Christ set before us. And it says, look at this, he ascended on high as a victor. The scripture says, you know, when you're a victor, when you win something, say you grab a gold medal in the Olympics, you know what you get? You don't just get a gold medal. You get a bunch of other stuff too. They give you gifts. There's a cash prize. You get a Wheaties box cover. There's all kinds of cool things that come along with victory. If you're an army that takes over another nation, you don't just get to have the land. You get all the spoils. You get the gifts come to you. But look what happens when Christ is victorious over death and seated over heaven. He gives gifts out, such as the love of our God. As he cites Psalm 68 there, he who ascended on high took many captives. He gave gifts to his people. Christ, in order for us to do this together, in order for us to make the impossible happen, that is us to move in unity, to be built together into the body of Christ, he has given out gifts. It's interesting here, alone in Scripture, he talks about these gifts as specific people. Elsewhere, you can find the listing of the spiritual gifts, how he has given to each one of us gifts of hospitality and of leadership, of teaching, all these things that the Holy Spirit puts out in gifts. But here, it's the offices, it's the people. The gifts that he gives us are certain people that help out in edifying the body and maintaining unity. First look, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Each one of us has been provided a gift by the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has been given unique abilities by the Holy Spirit, all for the purpose of edifying the body, that is, lifting up the rest of the congregation towards Christ. Each one of us plays a different part in it. And what else does the word apportioned mean? That different ones of us have received different gifts and different gifting. And if you've received different giftings, that means you're not competent on your own to go about following after Christ. It means no individual one of us can ever follow Christ rightly. We're supposed to do it together. Take a look at the gifts that he provides. Verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. These are the roles that he hands out to people. Now, Christ does not appoint new apostles as we understand this. Scripture says the apostles were appointed at one time. That is the disciples plus Paul, the ones who wrote the New Testament. We still have the apostles among us. How? I mean, we are literally reading and learning from them right now as they wrote. He has given us the apostles. They were there. There are not new apostles to be claimed, people who can speak with authority the way Paul spoke with authority as God inspired him to write these things for us. We have the apostles. The church has always had them since they were appointed at the beginning. Here, we still have them witnessing to us today. We have the apostles. And we have the prophets. That would be the Old Testament prophets. Although the gift of prophecy is still a thing that we experience today, it does not mean new revelation. God is not sending out new revelation the way he did to Daniel, the way he did to John in Scripture. We have the prophets, just like the apostles, who continue to be a witness to us. We can go back and read them. The people today may well say to you in a prophetic voice, listen, if you follow down this path in sin, here's what's going to happen to you. If you follow down this path in righteousness, here's what's going to happen to you. This is the gift of prophecy as it is revealed today, to simply say, look, if you continue to stray down that way, it's not going to go well for you. If you continue to follow after Christ, it will go well for you, following in line with what Scripture says. But new revelation about who God is and what he's doing, that doesn't happen. God has spoken completely and fully through the prophets here. And we were given the apostles, and we were given the prophets, and we were given and are continue to be given evangelists. Don't you know those people who come and are just excellent at preaching the gospel? They do it with a power, and they are a gift to the church. I pray that God would raise up more evangelists, that he would send more evangelists out that people would hear. These ones who are just greatly gifted in evangelism for his sake, that we call and bring through and say, you come here too for a while. That we hope to raise up out of our congregation to say, you be an evangelist amongst us and with us as a member of this congregation. There's also the gift of pastor teachers. You see how this one is not separated by commas in the list. When Paul writes this, he refers to them as the same thing, a pastor teacher. They're put together. You see this elsewhere as Paul writes that all pastors must have the ability to teach. This does not mean that all teachers must be pastors. You may well have the gift of teaching. God provides that out amongst the congregation. But it is to say that the pastor teachers, all pastors, have to be able to teach. And if they are not able to teach, well, that's one of the requirements of being a pastor. This office, this role he calls it here, is apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers, the pastor and teachers, as it's put together here in Scripture, not to be separated apart there. It's another office that God provides. It's my dear prayer that we would continue to raise up out of our congregation more people who are called to ministry, who are called to be pastors. It's been wonderful to meet other men who grew up here, who were called into ministry, who were called to be pastors, whether it be Dale Reeves, who pastors down in Jacksonville, whether it be, he's going to be tickled that his name came up twice in one Sunday, Clint Smith, whose father was pastor here some time ago, and he himself is now pastor at Town Creek, who was here during his middle school and high school years, and it was called into ministry pastoring another church in town. There have been many, Bill Wright, who have come through here and been a part of this church and were called to pastor and called to ministry, and we join in praying together that more of our young men would be called to be pastors. We together, all of us, Tommy and I, but all of us together, continue to look for, to identify, to pray for that in our young men, saying, perhaps you too have the calling. Let's go to God in prayer together and see if that's something that he has for your life. However, I should note, just because there are evangelists does not exempt you and I, who are not evangelists, from doing the work of evangelism. Just because you may not have the gift of teaching does not exempt you from teaching your children to follow after Christ. Whether you're gifted at it or not, there is a role for each one of us to do the teaching, to hop into that role, whether it just be with our own children, whether it just be with our own neighbors, whether it just be with our own family. It doesn't have to be in front of a giant group of people, but there's a time when we teach others about Christ, and none of us are exempt from that. It's just like saying, well, God didn't give me the gift of hospitality, and he really didn't. It's like, God didn't give me the gift of hospitality, so get out of my house, right? You can't do that. It doesn't work. God didn't give me the gift of generosity, so I'm keeping it all. No, it doesn't work like that. Some are gifted in special ways by the Holy Spirit. You are gifted in a special way by the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't exempt you from being hospitable, from being generous, from teaching others about Christ, from sharing the gospel like an evangelist. We all do these things as an act of obedience, but thank God that He has proportioned us differently. How is He given to you? One of our requirements for membership here at Talitha Baptist Church is that you use your gift from the Holy Spirit to edify the rest of the body. In order for you to do membership here rightly, you will have to exercise whatever gifting God has given you to lift up the rest of the congregation. What's yours? We've all got to do this together. If you're skipping out, if you kind of keep it a secret because you just don't want to get involved, if you've had a bad experience before and you just kind of want to just stay out of it, it's not going to work. You've got to pray diligently, seek diligently, talk to others around you about how exactly God has gifted you and how you're going to be able to use that in the congregation. If you know but aren't serving in it, then come find me. Let's talk about it. Come say, I know God's made me really good at this. I know I have this gift in me for this. How's that going to work out here? How can I be a part? What can I do? Put me in, coach, you know? Come with that attitude and we'll find a way for you to do that, because only when you're doing that are we going to reach verse 13. Verse 13 says, until we've all reached unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Individually, we have no ability to do this. There is only one right way for you to grow up in faith, and that is to do it with the rest of the congregation. There's no plan B. There's no second option for you to mature in faith and be pleasing to God except to do it as a member of a congregation. You must do it together with the body. You were not given enough gifts yourself by the Holy Spirit to lift yourself up individually towards God. We are called together to be a holy people. We are called together to reach out to Him. We are called together to mature, to reach the fullness of knowing God. And we won't do it outside of doing it together with each other. Do you understand now why Paul put as the very first thing that we have to be completely gentle, completely humble, completely patient, and bear with each other in love? Doesn't work. None of it works unless we will first take that on ourselves. Say to you today, some of you, okay, now I spoke to our church specifically. Now I speak to you if you're a guest specifically. If you're a guest here, not a member of Talitha, if you've come from another church, you're a good Christian person who has been growing up in faith, but you come here from any other church, you are more than welcome. For whatever circumstances those are, I'm sorry if they were difficult ones. You're welcome to worship here. Come on, you're more than welcome to join a part. Understand the expectation for you is that you would, like the rest, join in using your gift for service, but that you must also come in completely humble. How gentle? Completely gentle, completely patient, and bearing with one another in love. I mention it only to say this to you. Come, friend, join us. You're welcome. However, if the place that you came from, the difficulty there was on you, if there was a time when you, yourself, were not completely gentle, were not completely patient, if there was a time when you did not make every effort to make peace, if you were not humble, if some of that was on you, you've got to be reconciled. There has to be an apology. Otherwise, it stays on you, and it will go anywhere you go. You'll bring it along unless, perhaps, you need to say, you know what, I could have done that better. We're still going to go our separate ways, and I'm sorry. I understand it is what it is, and we're going to move along, but I could have handled that better. I could have been a little more gentle, and I could have been a little more humble, and I apologize. That apology will set you free. This is why, as you know, anybody who's joined our church recently, for every new member, there's a time for membership class. There's also a time for you to come and sit down with me, and we have a pastoral conversation. A part of it is, are you really a believer? Are you sure if you died today, you'd be in heaven? Were you baptized properly after you're a believer? And another one is this, if you're coming from somewhere else, how did you leave? I don't need to know the story of anywhere else. I just need to know about you. Do you feel good about the way you went? Is there peace in your heart? Or do you need to go back before you come and offer an offering and say, you know what? even to somebody you still aren't friends with, but do you need to go back, even in just in writing, and say, I apologize. I could have been more gentle and humble. I apologize for what was my part. Consider this today. Because without that humility, without that gentleness, there's no body that you can be a part of that will work well in lockstep. And apart from being a member of a church, there's no chance for you growing up into maturity. You know when it's okay? Do you know when it's okay to act like an infant? When you're 9 months old. Do you know when it's not okay to act like an infant? When you're 20 years old. It's time for us to grow up. We've got to do it together with each other. It's time for us to put away childish things. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted childishly, but when I became an adult, I put away childish things. Today, it is time for you to step up as well, shedding off whatever anger, whatever hostility, whatever chair throwing was in your past, so that we together can all worship God rightly and grow together, being knitted together that we may know the fullness of Christ. My desire for you, church, is that you would know the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, it is a delight to worship you together. I thank you that you've brought us together and that even seeing the congregation together, you brought us together from all over the world and you did it to worship you. Father, I thank you that you've set us such a beautiful, perfect, clear example of gentleness and humility. And I pray that we would follow your example. I pray that you would see our words of gentleness, humility, our actions of gentleness and humility as an act of worship to you. Father, I pray that you would continue to bless us by gifting us through the Holy Spirit to edify each other, to lift up the congregation. All this for your name and your glory. Amen.